get mic'd up here real quick. All right.
John chapter number 1. Last week we looked at the importance of the gospel. The gospel being the power of God unto salvation. And the importance of the salvation being presented to people. And our responsibility in that. And I mentioned that on Wednesday evenings through the summertime, beginning this Wednesday, we will begin a training time during the midweek service on teaching people how to talk to others about the gospel, what it requires, what it's going to take, how it can be done, how it should be done, and even sometimes how it shouldn't be done. Because there is a way to not do it as well as there is a way to do it. But in that line of thinking, and as we're going through this, I began thinking and want to continue to think about not just the need of this, but also why don't we do it more? Why don't we share the gospel? Why don't we tell others about Jesus? And there are some reasons, and there's really a multitude of reasons, but this week we're going to explore why we don't bring more people to Jesus. And I want you to find in your Bibles in John chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in the 35th verse. The Bible says, again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now this morning, through the Word of God, we're going to look at three different passages of Scripture that all deal with other people bringing other people to Jesus. People that brought people to Jesus. And then as we look at that, we're going to see what the reason was that they brought them and kind of try to explore why we don't bring more to Jesus. Let's pray together. We'll get started. Our Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for how You impress upon us needs. And Father, as we go through this morning, I ask that You would just speak to our hearts. For Father, I know the great task that You have entrusted us with as Your stewards, to bring people to Jesus. And Father, I pray this morning that You would just help us to explore our own hearts as to why we may not, or why we don't bring more. May Your word convict us. May Your word draw us closer to You, that we might do what You expect in bringing people to Your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us through this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, I love the book of John. John, I love it. I've spent much time in it and love studying it, and I love how John writes and how God used him in his life. And In John chapter 1, we need to just go back just for a moment and look at what John is preparing for us through this. In the beginning, he introduces Jesus as the Word of God and how he is moving in our lives, and how that when we believe on him, in verse number 12, he says, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Through that, we know that again, it's by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior that you can become a son of God. He said in verse number 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father." We see the Word, but then we see the witness. John in verse number 15 bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of the fullness of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Now, from verse 19 and following, we find John the Baptist being introduced through this book of John. Now, John is not the same John writing. The Apostle John is writing about John the Baptist here. And as he goes through, he talks about how John is in the wilderness and he's baptizing, he's preaching, he's telling people, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." We can find that in other books. He tells them in verse number 26, he says, "John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." In verse number 29, the Bible says, "And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." What a statement that was. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John knew what Jesus was doing as he came here. He said in verse number 30, he said, "This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." Verse number 31, I love this verse. He says, "And I knew him not, but he that should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." What is John saying here? He's saying and he's telling us Jesus is the Son of God. The reason that you and I should be bringing people to Jesus is because Jesus is the Son of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is the answer. Amen. So why don't we bring more to Jesus? Now here we find after verse 35, we read these verses earlier. I'm not going to take the time to read all of them again, but we find two of John's disciples. They were there as John was baptizing in the wilderness. And as John was baptizing, and as he was there, as he saw Jesus coming, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," these two disciples got curious. And as Jesus left from that baptismal site there at the Jordan River, we find that these two disciples were following Jesus. They wanted to learn more about him. They wanted to see what he was all about. And they followed. And they watched him. And Jesus, he stops at one point and he kind of turns around and he says, "What you need? What are you seeking?" Now, I don't know if they were nervous. I don't know if they just couldn't come up with something better. I don't know if they just didn't think that Jesus was going to even speak to them. But the best thing they could come up with was, "Where do you live?" That's how I read it. You might read it differently. Personally, I don't think that that's really what they were doing. Where do you live? That was just the best they could come up with. You could read it differently. I don't know. That's just kind of how I see it. But they say, "Hey, Master, where do you live?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." So So Jesus takes them home with him, and within just a few short hours of spending time with Jesus, spending time with John, they realized, this is who we've been waiting for. This is the Messiah. And the Bible tells us that Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, in verse 40, he was one that followed. He was there, and notice what it says there in verse number 41. It said, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Why Simon? Why did he get Simon? I mean, he could have found anybody. But the Bible says he first findeth his own brother. Do you think it's possible that he loved his brother? Hopefully. I know as children, brothers and sisters fight, but as you get older, there's usually a more, you know, getting along with one another, and they're definitely grown men. But he first findeth his own brother. And he said, hey, we found him. This is the one. You've got to meet him. And he brought him to Jesus because he loved him. Do you think it's possible this morning that we don't bring more to Jesus because we've lost a love for others? I think in our society we have gotten so wrapped up in ourselves that we rarely begin to see the need of others. It's easy to do. I mean, because we all have needs. We all have desires. We all have wants. And it's very easy to get caught up in ourselves and miss But you know, we found something. I mean, Andrew found something. And he found something that was great. He found something that was wonderful, and he wanted to give Peter some help on it. Occasionally, we'll go shopping. We'll find something on sale. And as we find it on sale, we'll tell somebody, we'll say, oh, hey, we found this on sale. You need to go get some. We tell them all about it. Rachel, the other day, bought some, I don't remember what it was, some vegetable or something. She found a good deal on it and bought extra and took it to somebody. She said, oh, somebody was looking for this. I want to take it to them. We do those kind of things. But yet, for some reason, when it comes down to Jesus, and we know this, that people need the Lord. But yet we're not bringing anybody to him. Does anybody see the disconnect, or is it just me? I mean, we are saved, right? So we're Christians. We know that Jesus died to save us. We've accepted the gift of salvation. So why are we not bringing more to Jesus? I think it's possible that we've just lost our love for others. Maybe, if you go to John chapter 4, we see another example of something that we may have lost. I think this passage right here in John chapter 4 is one of the greatest soul-winning chapters we find in Scripture. Jesus, the master teacher, Jesus, the example of our life, gives us a wonderful one-on-one example of soul winning that we can give to anybody. This is the first place that we're going to start as we look at how to lead somebody to Christ. It's John chapter 4. I'm not going to go over everything here this morning because we're going to look at this through this. But we find Jesus talking to a woman that he met at a well. He asked her for something to drink. He tells her everything there is to know about her life. And he just met her. She came to the same conclusion that Andrew did, and that was this: we found the Messiah. So what does she do? Now, she came to the well to get some water. And I want you to start in verse number 28. After Jesus told her, "I'm the Messiah," in verse number 28, the Bible says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. So here we have a very similar experience. Andrew meets Jesus, brings his brother Simon. This woman meets Jesus, realizes this is the Messiah, and she begins to put her faith in him. And so she leaves her water pot. She totally changed directions in her life of what she was doing and what she had the need of. And she realized, I've got to tell somebody. I mean, this woman, I guarantee you, she was excited. She was so excited she had to go tell somebody. And she didn't just tell somebody, she was telling everybody. She was telling all the men of the city she was going, and she was telling them, hey, you've got to meet this guy. He's out of Jacob's well. His name is Jesus, and I think I found the Messiah. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. And they started to stir some things up within this city of Samaria. And if you'll drop down to verse number 39, the Bible says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. One person. Jesus comes and meets her. Tells her a lot of things. The main thing he told her was, I'm the Messiah. Because she said, I've heard that the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he's going to tell us all things. And Jesus said, well, I'm the one you're talking about. What? She leaves her water pot and she goes, hey, I found the Messiah. Come and see him. Hey, 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 I found the Messiah. Come and see him. I found the Messiah. Come on. I found the Messiah. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hey, I found the Messiah. Come on. Jacob's well, and everybody comes out there. And because of one person, many, the Bible says, believed on Jesus. Now let me tell you something. Not everyone believed on Jesus because she said so. You say, what? No, no, no. Can I just let you in on something? This woman, I don't really know how trustworthy she was. Let's just face it. The Bible tells us that some of them had to see it for themselves. And there's always going to be people like that. Verse number 40, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, I don't know if it was that she wasn't trustworthy or that they just had to see it for themselves. But guess what? If it wasn't for the woman, they never would have come. They never would have come to Jesus without her going in the city and being excited. Let me ask you something. Have you lost your excitement about what Jesus has done for you? Sometimes we lose our excitement because of trials. Something happens. Something happens in our life, and man, we just lose that excitement. Hey, sometimes we lose our excitement just because of plain old laziness. It's a little too difficult to tell somebody about Jesus. It takes effort. And we're just too lazy. Maybe we're just too complacent. We're good, status quo. Don't want to disrupt anything. That'd be too much to ask. Get out of our comfort zone. Well, no, why would I do that? Sometimes we lose our excitement because things aren't like they were yesterday. You know, we can still be just as excited about Jesus as we were the day that we came to know Him. Amen. That flame doesn't have to go out. It doesn't. We can still be excited about what Jesus has done in our lives. Because it is that while salvation is not a continual work, there's still a working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Are you excited about it? Or have you lost that excitement? This one woman met Jesus. And she brought, I won't go as far as to say she brought a whole city, but many of them. Many of them came to know Christ because of one woman. And then many more, as they met Jesus for themselves, they said, not because of your word, but guess what it was? It was because of her word. Can't get around that. But they heard him and met him for themselves. See, one person can make an impact. Have you lost your love for others? Maybe it's because you've lost your excitement for others. Matthew chapter 9. Why don't we bring more to Jesus? I think it's possible because we've just lost our love for others. We just don't care. Can I say it like that? You say, that's a little harsh, preacher. I care a lot. Do you care enough to share? We've lost our excitement. It's not the same.
I've matured.
Well, I hope I never mature if that's the case. Verse number 1, Matthew chapter 9. Jesus enters into a ship. He passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes and within themselves said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. I think how they would have said it inside. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto them. Find in other passages of Scripture this story. A man that couldn't walk. He was lame. He had four friends. Each one of them took a corner of his bed brought him to Jesus. Why? You know, it's probable that this man had seen doctors before. It's probable that they tried everything they could do for this guy to walk. But the Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." Now, this is interesting because in other times Jesus would have just done a miracle. But he saw their faith. He saw their faith. Can I say that again? He saw their faith. Whose faith? Who would you say the "their" is, Brother Terry? The people? The four guys? Their faith. I think even the fifth guy on the bed, Brother Don, saw their faith. In who? In Jesus. He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." Let me tell you something. You may come to Jesus with an infirmity or with an issue in your life, and that may be what brought you to Jesus or why you came to Jesus. But can I tell you, the greatest thing that Jesus can do in your life is forgive your sin. More so than it is that he heals you. Why? Because his grace is sufficient. Yes, healing is a wonderful, miraculous thing, but salvation is what is going to last in the end. And he brought them to Jesus. They brought them to Jesus. Why? Because it was their faith that brought them to Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful amount of faith. We say, well, it worked for them, but it won't for me. Pastor, I know what the Bible says and all of that, but, you know, that was in the Bible. God works differently today. Can I just tell you that through the Bible, God has always saved the same way? All throughout. It has always been by grace through faith. Always. God has never saved any other way. If he did, then we couldn't say through Scripture that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has always saved the same way. By grace, through faith. And here is their faith. And so we say, well, you know, I know. How can we say, well, I know it happened in the Bible and I believe it, but I don't know. I don't think it could happen today. Can I tell you, the same God that parted the Red Sea in the Old Testament could part the Red Sea today? Hallelujah. Every example that we have in the Bible of someone bringing someone else to Jesus did it because of faith. When Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, it was his faith that ultimately brought him to Jesus. When the woman at the well brought those people from Samaria to Jesus, it was ultimately her faith that led her to bring others to Jesus. Where is your faith? Have you lost your faith? And I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm saying, have you lost your faith in that Jesus can save someone the way that he saved you? There are a multitude of other reasons. Next week we're going to look at not just where we have, because we have individually failed here. We need to be bringing more to Jesus. We can. Every one of us have the ability because we have faith. And if you have faith, You can bring somebody to Jesus. Plain and simple. And if you're not, I think it's probably one of these three things. You've either lost your love for others, you've either lost your excitement of Jesus, or you've just plain old lost your faith. But what about as a church, collectively? Why don't we bring more to Jesus? Individually, we have a task. Corporately, we have a task at hand to bring people to Jesus, to baptize them, to disciple them so that they can bring more to Jesus. There is a process here. Next week, we're going to look at that. How the church has. And I'm not talking just Crossroads Baptist Church. I'm talking the church in general, because Jesus gave the church a task. We need to bring more to Jesus. We're going to focus upon this heavily. But for this morning, why don't we bring more to Jesus? Can I be a little bit more pointed? Why don't you bring more to Jesus? Why don't I bring more to Jesus? There may be other reasons. But I just see in Scripture, while these brought him, Andrew loved Simon. He loved him. He brought him to Jesus. This woman was excited about what Jesus had just done for her. She brought people to Jesus. These other men that brought this lame man to Jesus, it was their faith. Is this you this morning? Why are we not doing more? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Why? And more importantly, as I give this invitation, these may be the reasons, but let me ask it this way. Are you going to change it? What are you going to do in your life to bring more to Jesus? Find somebody you love and tell them about it. Find that excitement once again. Rejoice in Jesus dying and saving you, and go and tell somebody about it. Why don't you just increase your faith, knowing that if God can save you, He can save somebody else. Get excited about it. It's a wonderful thing. Father in heaven, God, I trust in You and You alone. Any words that I might say or be able to say, God, they may or may not be able to convince someone, but Father, I know that Your Holy Spirit is able. And I ask that during this time of invitation that You would just impress upon our hearts the need of others being brought to Jesus. They might be saved, that they might respond to the call. God, would You place someone upon our heart that we love? And God, may we be so excited about what Jesus did for us, whether it was yesterday or whether it was 30 years ago, like for me. God, may I be just as excited. Stand to your feet. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Brother Don is singing that first verse. Jesus, I come. Are you coming by yourself, or are you bringing somebody with you? Bring somebody to Jesus as he sings. You respond. Is the Lord laying somebody on your heart? Jesus, I come. Maybe you need to trust Christ as your Savior. You say, I'm here, I've never done that before. Why don't you come? Let somebody show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that when you die, you go to heaven. It's a wonderful thing. Come to Jesus. Bring somebody. Why don't we do more? It's because Because we just don't care? They were just not excited. We lost our faith. Come to Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You can look up this way if you would, please. We're going to be dismissed here in just a moment. I want to invite you back tonight for our fellowship meal. It's a wonderful time to get to know folks, sit down, eat a meal, chit-chat, fellowship, have a good time, bring something to eat with you that we can share, and that'll be great. Brother Don's going to come and lead us in our closing hymn, but I'm glad to see you this morning.
This is the day. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made.